It's the Social Geeks episode 16. We want the post and not the pre for June 11th, 2009. We talk about Facebook vanity URLs, paid Twitter streams, social identity management, as well as a few products. Hey everybody, it's the Social Geeks episode 16 for, what are we at, Wednesday, June 10th? Yeah, June 10th, 2009. Nice group today. We actually found Lewis Gray. Lewis is alive and well after showing up on the net. Sarah is out of bed and moving around. And Wayne is, well, I don't know where Wayne is because he's never home. So Wayne, what's going on? How's everybody doing?
Good. I'm tired.
You haven't been on a podcast in episodes and you're just, I'm good. Okay, perfect.
I'm good.
Good.
Lewis, I've always been here, Chris. It was just a matter of you hitting the right buttons.
I see this is going to be a long one. All right, the lightning's moving into our area fast, so let's make sure we don't lose anything. Let's dig in. Any big announcements before we go from anybody?
Sarah?
I'm pregnant?
That's huge.
Yes.
I wasn't shooting for that. I was thinking technical, but okay, congratulations.
Thank you.
Is it, are you going to be an Octomom?
No.
Excellent.
Keep in mind, Chris, for many of the geeks listening to this podcast, the whole process is very technical.
It involves a lot of steps. And we have no clients or shortcuts for it either.
No.
Right.
None.
Gotta do it the old-fashioned way.
Everybody's good and healthy, though?
Yep.
All right, Sarah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ish. It's been a tough pregnancy so far. I've been really sick, so I've been in and out of the hospital, and I still have a catheter and a pump pumping me with medicine, so it's been real fun.
So if you doze off during the podcast, we understand.
Yeah. Right.
We definitely understand. Wayne, you got any big news?
Nope. I'm in listening mode, so nope. Internet hustling. Yeah, social media hustling.
Social media. You've been doing stuff everywhere. And Lewis, you've been all over the place lately.
Well, it depends on your interpretation of that. I think
virtually.
We've tried to say yes to everything. You know, you can only turn the switch up so many times, but we're happy to participate. And so long as people are still interested and don't hang up on us, we'll be there.
Right. Lewis did this the other day on his thing. He started doing that wobbly thing. Is everybody else good with their quality?
Yep.
All right, so let's jump in. The big thing coming up this Friday, and I know Lewis probably already has one because we don't, and he's high on the ladder like that, but vanity URLs on Facebook. Do we even need them? Do you guys really even need a vanity URL?
I don't need one. It'd be cool to have one, but here's the thing. I read that you had to have a Facebook page with 1,000 fans in order to even qualify. So does anyone have that?
No, I don't think that's right. I think that was in
regards
to the companies. So that would be moving a fan page into a vanity URL. But a lot of this is really about the user accounts themselves. So regardless of what Chris thinks about me, no, I don't have any key access.
Yeah.
You know, my vanity URL is thelewisgray.com. You know, there's a great post by Neil Dash kind of laughing about it, saying, do you guys realize you can get your own domain name with your name on it? Why would you want to do that on Facebook? But this is Facebook playing catch-up. You've had your own vanity URL on Twitter, on FriendFeed, on MySpace, forever. I even joked about it. Like, you can get your own name and your own email now. So why not have Facebook catch-up?
Yeah. I totally agree. I mean, a lot of people have been, I think Chris Messing, he kind of blogged about it too. Like, you know, is it necessary? But like Lewis Gray said, Facebook is catching up. I think it depends on the company and the brand and individual because, I mean, like, you know, my last participation on the podcast, Social Geeks, I created my own fan page. I'm at 102 fans. I want a vanity URL for that. But in the meantime, what I've done is, like Lewis Gray and Sarah said, I created my own domain name, facebook.socialwayne.com. Shameless plug. And so I send people there. But I want a vanity URL, and I want a vanity URL for my Facebook profile. I can't have both because I only got 100 fans. And a lot of brands, a lot of companies don't have 1,000 fans, and they're going to be out of luck. So going back to the individual, Facebook is playing catch-up on the profiles.
Well, as of recording, here's the official technical stuff that I found. So we're at just over 3 days and 8 hours, but here's the official rules. It says if you sign up for a Facebook page after May 31st, you are not eligible to actually get one right away for squatting of names. They're going to protect that. And then the name itself will be with you forever. There'll be no transferring, no renaming, and it must be at least 5 characters in length with only alphanumeric. They're not doing any non-Romanized characters. So they're being pretty straightforward. Like, bring it up, you know, Leo stuff Twit, he couldn't get a page for Twit because that's only 4 characters and it must be at least 5. So there's
well,
some
it's
rules.
Interesting you say it's non-transferable forever. I mean, that's crazy. Let's say that I get Wayne Sutton because I get on there first. And I have Wayne Sutton as my ID. So I'll never, ever be able to transfer it to him?
Well, or
let's say I log off of Facebook and I don't use it anymore. Shouldn't he be allowed to get it?
Well, let's reword that then, because they have a contact form for username rights. But what they're saying is if you choose I am Lewis Gray's biggest fan in the world forever, and then I don't like that after a week, I can't change that. But if you have a name squatting issue, they have a form for that.
But that's for trademarks. Right.
Yeah.
Well, supposedly, but there's other Chris Millers.
And if you pick that as yours, I have a problem with that.
Right. Exactly. But what do I pick? Do I pick Chris Miller or do I pick I Do Notes?
I Do Notes, because that's your brand online.
Right.
But right, that's the whole thing now. It's like you could. It's like on Twitter, there was this whole rush to try and get shorter usernames.
Yes.
So in theory, I could have petitioned and gotten LG or Lewis or whatever. But truth is, Lewis Gray is who I am. That's the ID online. I'm trying to unify it everywhere. So let's not go to the shortest shortcut because people want to type in 2 letter things. Let's just go with the name. And the truth is, there's so many ways that people get around now. It's bookmarks. It's links. So it could be 40 characters. Nobody cares. It's just a link.
Yep. That's the rules, though. Sarah, are you going to do? You know, Sarah in Tampa is everywhere.
Oh yeah, I'll probably do that if I can. I don't think there's any other Sarah in Tampa's out there because that's more of my brand. It's my Twitter username. It's my blog URL, and you know, it's my friend feed. It's everything. So hopefully, I never move.
Sarah in Bolivia. So they have
yeah.
They have an official page. We'll put in the notes. It's facebook.com/username, and that has the official countdown, the official everything, and here's the catch. To see that page, you must be able to log into Facebook, so you have to create an account, but they also say if you create an account after May 31st, you're going to be on a little bit of a hold, so they make sure no one's in there just squatting. So that's kind of cool the way they're doing that. I actually kind of like that.
But what about other brands that have, like, because I was talking to some friends of mine who run a B2B blog, they know some companies that have fans, and they totally getting Facebook, you know, how to use it for their business. But yet, Microsoft, Intel, some of the other big companies, they have their 1,000 fans. They've been having them. And so these other companies, they're just out of luck. I mean, I would like to have more of an explanation from Facebook to say, when is this hold of May 31st that you can't, you know, if you haven't had 1,000 before May 31st, when is that going to be released? When is the next way for you to get your vanity URL for your business going to be allowed?
Yeah, true. And what if you have a short, less than 5-character business name? IBM.
Like IBM.
Exactly.
But
IBM.
Yeah. They're going to break the rules for some companies.
They're going to have to break the rules for some companies. I mean, just in terms of a
Dell?
Company. No?
IBM, HP, Dell, it's just a disaster.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't think about that.
They break the rules, it's not a rule anymore.
True.
You're absolutely correct, and I don't see anything on here about businesses, but we're at, I'm sorry, the previous one was a screenshot. We're at 2 days, 1 hour, and 27 minutes from the time of recording. I don't see it as a big deal or a big rush, because most everybody has a presence with their name they already have, meaning all of us are going to pick just the name we have all over the net. It's everybody else in the world that are going to be fighting over the common names, like Chris, right? How many people would want to be just Chris at Facebook? Think about it. Those are the names you have to worry about, is the general population of 100-something million people actively inside of Facebook, and they all want maybe their first name. I think those are the people that are affected more than us that have brand names across the web.
Do you think they should have charged for this then?
I think nominally wouldn't have been a bad idea. Monetization for them, make sure you're serious about getting it. And make it a small monetary fee. If only it's a few bucks, at least they know you're serious about picking it up and they make some money off the deal.
Yeah, that's what I originally thought they were going to do, because there was those blog posts about Facebook coming up with their own commerce system. So I originally thought that it's going to be you purchase your own UR, Vantage UR with Facebook new commerce system, and that they use them for certain apps. And that would have been, like you guys just mentioned, it would have been better, for businesses and so forth, and get whatever name they want because they pay for it. And I got an issue already because there's a guy named Wayne. I think he works or has some affiliation with Facebook. He already has Facebook.com/Wayne. And it's taken. I can't, he already has it. It's gone. And I know three other Wayne Settings. One guy's even in the state of North Carolina where I'm at. And I know what we're going to be doing Friday night at midnight.
Right.
Trying to get Wayne Setting.
You'll get Social Wayne instead.
I want that for my fan page, but I can't get it because I don't have enough fans.
Ugh.
Here's another solution, and this I mentioned it on Twitter earlier, is that Social 2 has been doing this already for a long time.
Yeah.
And obviously I advise them, but I work with Jesse, and you put your ID in .social2.com and it redirects to your Facebook page. So lewisgray.social2.com is redirected to Facebook since I joined. It just already works. So I think the whole concept about them paying for this additional piece about the username, I think that's a PR mistake, right? And that's why they haven't done it. Because if you have a competitor like a Twitter and a Facebook and a LinkedIn, a Twitter, MySpace, LinkedIn already doing it, then Facebook charging for something everyone else gives away for free looks bad.
True.
Just imagine all the tech meme if they did that.
It'd be like AT&T right now.
Yep.
Very true. That's why you're an advisor, Lewis Gray. That's why you are an advisor.
I don't advise Facebook.
You should. Should be.
Look for a call soon.
So they have my phone number.
They have the phone. They know where to find you on the web. So take the paid thing over the other one, because we're going to do good with keeping everybody on time. Take the paid. The other topic we had was, will you pay for a vanity URL? What's the consensus? Would you guys pay for it? Yes or no?
No.
One no?
No.
No?
No.
Wayne?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. And so two yeses and two nos. If we had a tiebreaker here like Jeff or Corvita, we'd be good. Or even Caleb, we'd be good to go. I say I would pay a few bucks just to have it to let them know. You guys say no way. So what about paying for a Twitter stream? You guys saw that one come out this week. What about paid Twitter streams?
Well,
I can't think of a single person whose Twitter stream is worth paying for.
Well, is it about the stream or is it about the content? Meaning, what if it's a company putting out tech feeds? What if it's a company sending out tech tips? What if it's, you know what I mean? There's a slew of things that could go into that.
No, I mean, we can get tech feeds in our email and in our RSS readers, I can't think of anything that I would pay for as far as a Twitter stream either. But I could see where certain celebrities would, be able to have like their core fans paying for that little bit of extra content. I'm not much of a fangirl when it comes to celebs, but I know that there are people out there who are. So who would eat up anything that was put out by that particular celeb. But that's a very small group, So.
And it's interesting that came up just now. There's a product called FanFlows, and this is not to be confused with LifeFlows we were talking about earlier, Wayne.
Right.
But FanFlows is put together by the team from AssetBar, fanflows.com. And they really do this type of premium content where somebody like a artist, a celebrity, a comic book provider, they can deliver inexpensive content, kind of micro payments and micromanagement, through Twitter, through Facebook, through any kind of online activity, and they're doing that now. So for those companies that want to do that, you can kind of sign up through FanFlows instead.
So there's an alternative to a paid Twitter stream, in other words, already.
Right. This is something that's been out for a while, and FanFlows hasn't gotten a lot of noise around it, but they have a really interesting way to say, here's what's free and here's what's premium, and you can set any price.
But more people have heard of Twitter than FanFlows.
Correct. Yeah, that's what we're changing today.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't pay for a paid Twitter stream either. But like Sarah said, I know there were certain people who would pay for content if they thought it was exclusive enough from certain individuals or people. But in our space, we're going to find the information. We're going to, whether it's RSS feed, whether it's Fringe feed, or, other blogs, aggregators, we're going to find the news. We're going to find the content that's relevant to us. Somebody's going to share it with us over time.
Yeah.
what about paying for a feed? Someone brought this up online. I don't know who remember who it was that brought it up on Twitter, but they'd pay a small nominal fee to support a charity, let's say. They'd pay $1 a month to follow a feed for a charity. That way the charity would get the money. They're showing their support. They don't have to do anything extra. What about something like that?
It's too many hops, right? I mean, if you want to donate money to a charity, go do it.
But yeah.
You know, feeds are free. So you're kind of mixing the content here.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think that a charity, donating $1 a month to a charity is ever going to amount to a significant amount of money on a network like Twitter. I mean, even if it got, you know, even if Twitter grew to millions and millions of people, you know, to find that one charity and, you know, maybe a couple thousand people donate $1 a month, well, that's not really a big amount of money, you know? When, you know, without this setup, people might, you know, write a check for, you know, $50, you know, as a one-time thing to this charity once a year, but that's better than $1 a month, you know? That's $12 a year, so... Yeah, I just don't know if that's a good way of making money, really. I mean, it's not going to hurt anything, but I just don't know if it's a great way to make money for the charity.
Well, then who do you think they're building this for, then? You know, for what purpose are they building the request to actually do that? To say, we want to pay Twitter stream. Is it for businesses? Is it for the average user?
Yeah, for businesses and for celebrities who want to be, like, a verified account, that makes sense. You know, if you are, you know... Conan O'Brien, and you want to make sure everyone knows that's your Twitter account, then you could pay a fee and get some sort of stamp of approval that that's really you. I think that would be something that a lot of people would pay for.
Well, what about, would you guys pay to have some sort of additional services on the Twitter account? Or are you believing, like I am, that there's enough free tools written out that you can do anything you want to do for free with Twitter?
There's enough free tools out there, but what I'm seeing is that everybody doesn't know about them. And so some people would just pay for, you know, if Twitter came out with some tool or some, you know, feature that 10 other, you know, other services built off Twitter, you know, had, people would pay for it. It would have to, you know, the verified account sounds very interesting. And something I, you know, I may, you know, I don't know about subscription, but I probably would pay for. But, you know, and back on the celebrity note, I think for corporate CEOs, if their stream, if they were providing some insights or certain level of stream, certain information, and it was all put together, you know, aggregated or, you know, filtered some way, that might be something that you want to, you know, you want to inside scoop in if it was done right.
Well, you know, you talked about verification of streams. One of their first verifications is, you know, where are you pointing the URL to what company, but how are they verifying that an actual company is setting up? Because you can send email from that company? Is that how they're going to say, we're verifying you're with them because you can send from a known mail server or server inside that domain, you're sending us email? Or how do you verify that a company's actually, you know, that account?
Well, I read that one of the ways they could verify was that if the official site for the company had a link to the Twitter account from their homepage, that would be a way to verify. So, like, if you went to the official site for Britney Spears, for example, you know, and that it linked to her official Twitter account, that would be good enough. I don't know if that's true or not, or I don't know where I read that. It seems legit.
Sounds great. No, I was wondering.
And it, you know, I made it up.
Right. You could, you know, with the right knowledge, route mail, or, you know, do what you want to do, but this verification process, it sounds like, is going to become more of a hassle as more companies are coming into the mix overall. And wasn't you today that brought up another tool? Because they actually sent me an email. Floxy, wasn't that you that brought them up today?
Yeah. Hey,
now
yeah, Floxy's interesting. It basically, you could set up a dedicated page for Social Geeks, for instance, socialgeeks.floxy.com, and show all of the Twitter streams from each of us. You can see who's mentioning Social Geeks and talking about you on the air, and look at statistics to see, you know, is it true that Wayne is the most popular of all of us? Is he getting the most followers per day? Does he talk about politics a lot? Does he do replies a lot? It's just another way to have another tool to kind of coordinate groups in a public way instead of just on your tweet deck. And I think you asked an interesting question earlier, which is, are there any services that impact Twitter that are premium that you would pay for. And right. I think absolutely we're already seeing that. And I don't want to pump Social 2 all day, but you know, I know exactly what's going on there. And I see that there's a lot of failings in terms of what Twitter is offering people that we're kind of getting used to and taking for granted and giving them a pass because they have a free service. And they've got really interesting potential, things like the Twitter search engine really being competitive with Google. But the fact is, it doesn't even search beyond 4 days. You can't search individual accounts. It goes down for hours at a time, and there's really no accountability when it comes to that company. You look at things like direct messages that go in and you don't get notified. You look at SMS going down. And so what you need to have is something that's a trusted utility that just works. And what Social 2 is trying to do is help those people who have, you know, some different type of management tools that they want to get, to be able to automatically follow, to be able to synchronize, and to be able to auto-delete, and just all these different tools that Twitter is not offering. And there is definitely a market for people to pay that premium, and I'm seeing it happen.
Well, like, you know, we've been going through, and, you know, it's self-promotional, but, you know, everything Twitter. We're at about 450 tools now, and one of the biggest hit entries we get is for Hummingbird, which is a paid Twitter tool. And people every day, well, give me the list. So I give them lists of, you know, this does that, of all these different things. And they're promoting this as a way to build, and I'll go on a tirade, just to build followers for no reasoning. And I'm seeing tons of people start following, you know, even you guys and me, but you're seeing it. They have thousands of followers in a matter of 10 days, 15 days with no content. And they're using tools like this to have the system go out, follow these people, hope to get followed back, to build their follower account. You know, it's a big cycle. And they're paying for this tool when there is other tools that do that exact same thing for free. So we go round and round. But what's the difference, Lewis, between what Social 2 does and like what Floxy does? What's the difference between what all these are doing? Because I'm looking at Social 2 now.
Right. Well, Floxy, just like we were saying, demonstrates, you know, a group functionality in public, and you can see all of the search details around that. Social 2 is kind of getting embedded. It's going to be more than just Twitter. You're going to see other social networks supported there. It lets you send surveys to your followers and get real-time feedback, including comments that are there. It lets you automatically filter out automatic direct messages. It helps you to unfollow people who are acting in an odd way. It helps you block them across the entire network if they're acting spammy. And so it's really a good way to clean up your Twitter nonsense and get good updates every single day, finding out who's following and who's not following. It's just a good way to manage the whole account.
Yeah, I thought I had a Social 2 account before. I don't know. I thought I did, but I guess I don't. Does anybody else have a Social 2 account?
Yes. I signed up for it. Yeah.
Yeah, I got one too.
Yeah. It's like value-added services on top of Twitter for serious Twitter users.
Well, so do you guys auto?
Handy.
Who auto follows everyone that follows you?
I did it one time, but I had to shut that off really quickly, and then I spent a long time cleaning up my following list because of it. I had no idea how many spammers and crap there were out there. So I couldn't possibly auto-follow people at this point.
And what
it
about,
would be ridiculous.
What about the checkbox that says, unfollow those that unfollow me? Anybody use that one?
Nope.
No.
I used to, but it doesn't matter enough to me, right? I use Twitter in a way that's different than probably you guys do and other people do, is that I use it a lot for doing the direct messaging. I use it a lot for search, but I don't just kind of sit on every day and see every update. I figure that if the good content's going to happen, it's going to come to me, right? So it doesn't really impact me if I'm following 1,000 people or 100,000. It just doesn't impact. So auto-follow just makes sense because it lets me bridge into those people who want to reach out. And if I find somebody who's unsavory, it's easy to block them.
True. And then let's throw the last one in there because I know Jeff wanted to talk about it, but he's not here. Has anybody played with Mixero, the new Adobe Air? What'd you think?
It's okay. I know a lot of people really, really, really like it. I got a lot of excited tweets about it. Have you seen it? It's so great. And I guess the problem I had with it was it didn't do the groups the way that TweetDeck does groups.
No.
And I kind of like having groups, you know. I got very comfortable with that format, and I'm just not sure if I can give that up.
Well, I've got a bunch of groups running, and I love the way it either does groups or hashtags. either one, so I can actually have a hashtag search across the public Twitter stream that brings me tweets just on that hashtag, and I don't have to follow those people or have them in there, and it's always running in the client. And then I have groups for the people that I already follow. I've sorted them. Actually, I haven't sorted everybody. I've sorted like half of them into five groups. The rest I've left kind of unsorted on purpose because they're not ones I follow constantly. I leave them in the big stream. Like the Social Geeks, I have all of us in, you know, a group. But then I use I'm using hashtags for a couple things like conferences. I don't have to follow hundreds of people to see it. I can make it an active, in the active center stream is what they call it, but I can make it active and just see updates on that. So I'm actually kind of liking it. I'm using it more daily than I was anything else, like any of the other clients right now.
Yeah, but you can follow a keyword in TweetDeck too.
Yeah.
So that's not like something new to me. And the way that you group people in Mixero, you put your contacts in a group. You can't really, or if you can, maybe I'm stupid, but I didn't see how you could just click once and see a stream of just the people in that group. Like just see their tweets.
Yeah, you just take that group and drag it to the middle active bar, and then you just click that group.
You have to drag it? Okay.
And once you put it in the middle, or right-click it and say make active, or activate, I think. I'm not running right now because we're, doing the podcast, but then you, once you put it in that middle bar, it shows up all the time, and I can see unread counts for you guys during the day, so I can see by groupings, people for the Lotus World, people for the Social Geeks, but, I have about five groups, like I said, family, and then I can just see numbered updates as they come in based upon even your individual replies, and directs also show as a different little bubble giving you indicators. So I was just curious because I'm liking it so far, and it's done it differently than most every other one's done.
Okay, I've got to see how you did that.
We'll talk about
dragging
it.
The contacts.
And
I first
go ahead.
When we first got access to it, I downloaded and checked it out, and just recently, I haven't been a big fan of. So I was having a while.
Yeah, that's all right. Sorry, I just saw how that worked. I swear I didn't see that before. That's great. Okay. Anyway, moving on.
Okay. Yeah. I just recently just stopped becoming a fan of Twitter air apps in general. I mean, I remember I was a fan of Twirl, and then TweetDeck came along, and then it just got heavy, processor heavy.
Yeah.
And then Seismic Desktop is just unusable. It's just unusable. And now they're even talking about taking Seismic Desktop to a web interface, which is, I'm a big fan of TweetGrid. And then now I'm looking at Flotsy from LewisGrid.com, and I'm like, I love this. And so, I think we're going to see more web-based Twitters to manage, to put things in groups like we've been seeing. And I know you guys have been seeing a bunch of more everything Twitter.com,
yeah.
But I just think we're going to continue to move towards as the browser being the operating system, and something that, I think Lewis hit on one of the posts a while back. And I just, air apps are cool, but if you do it in a browser, access anywhere is better.
Well, I've got a code for Floxy to get into those guys. I need to send them my info. I'll create one for the Social Geeks. Mixer has become my daily, just because I need something running locally, but I'm with you. There's so many apps, and I load pretty much all of them. Testing them and checking them out, it does get overwhelming. And I think what it is, and Lewis probably sees it, there's no one application that does everything that each of us uniquely wants it to do, and it just doesn't exist. So I want this plus multiple accounts, plus I like what Mixero does with the center thing. I love avatar mode that we didn't even really talk about, this overlay avatar mode thing they have for Mixero, but it's still missing other features that other clients have. Seismic is still way back in the betas. He's supposed to release a new update this week, but every time he does, I load it for 20 minutes and close it down. Nothing personal, but it's so far behind what we need. Like you said, Wayne, I can't use it. Lewis, do you live in the web for, or are you using TweetDeck, or what are you using for your Twitter stuff?
I use Tweety when I do use a client, just because it has a very simple interface for the Mac, and it works well on the iPhone also. I used to be a hardcore TweetDeck user, but given the way I use Twitter, it just didn't make sense anymore. So, yeah, I think if you take a look at my stream, a lot of the updates are from FriendFeed. or from the web. You know, FriendFeed does a lot of redirection for me when I make bookmarks on Delicious or make native posts on FriendFeed. But for blog posts, I just manually go over to the web and pop them in. It's just not a big deal. I do use Tweety a ton for direct messages and for replies or anything.
Okay. And I want to go back to social, too, because I'm all set up now. And, you know, you were talking about this and pointing to Facebook earlier. I see that they found ways to monetize right out of the box, didn't they? If you want to do... they just started it Monday, May 11th, a one-time $20 fee to get service about people that follow and unfollow. There is an additional fee if you want to be able to follow people that you or get information on people you had previously followed. They're putting a dedicated server up for paying users. So they're doing features to make you want to purchase their services, which is kind of cool. And actually, the way they pop it up every time you hit your homepage, it actually makes you want to do it. Well, heck, through PayPal, Visa, MasterCard, or Discount, whatever. So we're all going to get
right.
Wayne's MasterCard number after this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's already on Twitter.
Yeah, it's on me. Just search Wayne's MasterCard.
Now, let's not be funny about that. I won't say who it was, but there's that site we highlighted in everything Twitter that was about deleted tweets, and you could search for a person that thought they deleted their tweets, but it still exists in the, you know, in the archives, and they went in maybe tried to delete it themselves, like they sent a bad direct message. I'm sorry, I sent deleted tweets, direct message tweets that were bad, and they were missent. Like they put a D and then the person's name, or they didn't. They put an S maybe. I found one of the big people sending their cell phone number through direct message, and it misfired it, and then deleted it themselves from the stream, but it showed up in the service. So there's a lot of things that go on in the back end that we never see, and a lot of these services are trying to expose that greatly. Sorry, just a little tip.
Twitter search doesn't let you delete it. I mean, we've seen things like that. I remember Dave Weiner posted his cell phone once. Robert Scoble posted his home address. And, you know, if you're paying attention, you're going to see it.
Yeah.
So that stuff happens. And that's why you always have to be careful what you're doing. Because when it goes on the web, it's pretty close to permanent.
It, unfortunately. We're seeing that.
And now there's more places, like if you have Twitter set up to go to your friend feed. I had a friend of mine who did that last week. And he didn't know he could delete his friend feed messages that, you know, went from Twitter. So I was like, yes, you can go into friend feed and delete that Twitter message that went to friend feed after you Twittered it, because he thought it was doing a DM and went public. And so not only do you have to worry about Twitter, you have to worry about if it's friend feed and other sites that aggregate, you know, then friend feed, if it pushes to Facebook, did it go there? You got to delete it there. So you got to think about all these places. You got to go delete a tweet sometimes once you have it, once it's public.
Okay, we beat that one up, didn't we? We beat that one. Well, we don't want to have a whole section on it, but the idea is that there's so much of the management that all of us do differently that I think all of us live in a different client world during the day, and we think it works best for us. And then I watch what you do, and I go, wow, that's great. Then I try and go, that doesn't work, so I find another one and another one. I'm getting to the point where I'm having to shut a lot of it down and go back to the basic, kind of like what you're doing with TweetGrid and stuff.
Well, here's three services that I think I would love to see just mash up and become one.
Okay.
CodeTweet,
mm-hmm.
Hootsuite, the new FlotSync. I was just really impressed with it. Those three services I think I would like to come one application. And really, and CodeTweet and Hootsuite are really, when you think about it, you know, besides the way they market each other, are not that much different. But they really go after different markets.
Would you pay for it?
If they bundled it all together, but even right now Hootsuite is free. I mean, they have a donation. They're trying to say. I think they had a campaign to raise money to continue to stay in business recently.
Right.
I could be wrong, but yeah, if they bundled the services up together and made it real, it wasn't too heavy on the browser. I think it'd be something that I would pay, or either I know something I most definitely use to sell or to say encourage other users to manage their Twitter stream.
Okay. Would you pay for any of them, Lewis?
I do pay for Social 2.
Oh, you pay?
Oh, yeah. Okay. And throw Social 2 into that mix. I'm sorry. That's four. That's four.
Wayne'll be broke by the time done.
So, like, Tweety is, I think it's, what, $15?
Yeah, I think
there
so.
Are Twitter accounts and Twitter clients out there that cost money. I think we've all paid for them on the App Store. If I go back and think about it, I've paid for multiple clients on the App Store to iPhone.
Oh, not me.
You know, it's when we get to the desktop that we're cheap. Isn't that weird?
Well,
you know, like I would pay $10 to $15 or sorry, $2 to $15 or something for the iPhone version, but on the desktop you're like, oh, that better be free. Weird.
Well, yeah, see, I don't have an iPhone, so yeah, all my stuff's been free. The Uber Twitter for the BlackBerry, I switched to that from Twitterberry. I love Uber Twitter much, you know, much better than previously. Don't have an iPhone, so I didn't get those. But yeah, you're right. Everything on the desktop, I want it to be free. So, Sarah, do you pay
for it? I'm a little disappointed. Oh. I can't believe that you're allowed on this podcast without having an iPhone.
It's a rule here that someone has to run a phone that you guys don't. That's the rule.
Okay.
Well, no, someone has to be able to talk about them, right? So I've got the Storm.
So yeah, so this is for diversity of opinion.
Diversity of opinion only. It's the old, otherwise we don't publish. No, diversity. So yeah, I run the Storm. I have a Curve. And then that's it. It's the only two phones I run with. So, Sarah,
they sound like Geo models.
Yeah, they are.
Or the Geo Storm, the Geo Metro. Do you have the BlackBerry Metro?
Yeah, I have the Geo Curve. Also, I have the Geo Curve. Sarah, what do you run? The iPhone?
Yeah, of course.
Which one are you using? Are you using Tweety also?
Yeah, Tweety. I even stuck it down at the bottom with the four icons at the bottom.
Oh.
you can't live without. Actually, it's five. I have a jailbroken app or something that lets me stick five icons down there, so I put Tweety down there.
And,
yes.
And Jeff doesn't have an iPhone either, because he's a Sprint boy. He doesn't have an iPhone either.
He can get a pre, bastard.
Yes. He can get a pre, and he and I had to have a side talk. I got to see something he hasn't seen yet in the Sprint world, so he's a little upset. But yeah, he runs the Instinct, which only does like web browsing, Twitter interface. Doesn't even have an application.
Ouch. Yeah, it has TV.
Oh yeah. I love, because I've got Sprint. Oh yeah, I've got Sprint TV. Oh yeah. Are you kidding me? That's great. And when it works, that's a different
choice. Well, you know, the funny thing about the pre, I'm glad you mentioned that, is like, if it's the pre, it's like, before what? Right? What are they working up to?
Right.
It would be like, if you said this was, if it's a prequel, it's like, well, I'm not going to get this one. I'm going to wait till the real one comes out.
You want the postquel.
Exactly. Like, I want the post. I don't want the pre.
Never thought about that. That's funny.
Never thought about that way, but I think you gave the podcast a name today. I want the post, not the pre. All right. That's a good one. All right.
Only loose.
Last topic before Sarah has to collapse. Social identity management, which goes to social too, but social identity management was a topic that came up. Real quick, I'm having a lot of questions. We relaunched the local St. Louis social media club, and a lot of the people there had a question about what is my, quote, identity on the web? What is it that I'm supposed to be, or who am I supposed to be, and how do I manage it? So who has a definition? What is social identity management?
Wow. Oh, I take a jab at it.
Go for it.
Well, I said social identity. Yeah, right. Social identity management. I would say it goes to managing your complete online identity across your personal blog and your identities on social networks, from Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, MySpace, etc. And then you have to decide, you know, which identity you're gonna be across the web and at what time. Are you gonna be corporate username, then have a different username for your life and use that identity for a separate use? If not, then you're gonna be just one person across the web, and that's your core identity everywhere, and everybody know how to search Google, you'll find you. And basically participate with you across these social networks.
But is it having one name, or is it managing the actual identity overall? Is it actually just having one name? Is that part of management, or is that the solution?
You see, it really varies. I wouldn't say there's one complete solution, because there are people who you have your one identity, and that's you at work and at home on social networks like myself. But you got other people who, when they come home, they get on Facebook, they complete separate life identity, and, you know, and so forth on social networks. So you can, so there is both. You have a core identity. You can have one core identity, and you can have multiple core identities on the web. It all depends on what your, I guess, what works for you and what you implement, and now what your company implements, because now companies are now start to have these policies and the rules and guidelines in place for your social network activity, as long as you're going to be employed with them.
Well, Lewis, you have, well, we don't need, you don't need to tell us if you have more than one identity, but you manage everything as Lewis Gray across all the networks like I do for I Do Notes. Do you, is that social identity management to you?
It's a portion of it. I think social identity management is a, kind of along the same lines as social reputation management, right? And just like we were saying before, everything you do online is pretty close to permanent. And so what you want to do is maintain a certain level of personality, but also recognize that you're going to have a certain level of trust whether you do things right or wrongly. It's why I've chosen to act a certain way in the way I communicate online with people. It's why I recognize that if you have a bad behavior, whether you talk badly about somebody or a product or you block somebody, it will come back to you. And so what you want to do is constantly work on improving your brand, but do it unconsciously. You know, if you're going to exude something that sounds like creativity, do that, or humor, do that, or intelligence, do that, but pick it and stick with it. That's what it means to me, and that means in all places.
It's a public persona of sorts. Who you are online is not necessarily who you really are anymore, because, I mean, it is to a point, but it's like you on your best behavior, you know? It's not you getting real like the way that you would be able to with your friends in real life. I mean, look at we have all these stories of crossover where your work life and your personal life keep coming into conflict, like that story on Tech Meme this week about the AP reporter who got in trouble for saying something on Facebook about work. And it was because he had friended, a bunch of other people at the AP, and some of them were higher up on the food chain, and, somebody ratted on him. I mean, these are the real world consequences of having a social identity today. You do have to watch what you do. It's not anonymous anymore.
What do you guys use to manage your identity?
It's the
common
whole,
sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you talking about choose wise or just in general?
Well, overall. I mean, so think about it. You've got not only you have to monitor it, you have to search for it, you have to have a tool that'll bring it to you, and then how do you go back and fight ones that are not proper for your identity? Let's say someone squats on your name on a site and starts posting things, right? We don't have to worry about what site it is. And they start posting things, or the name is very similar to yours. How do you fight that identity challenge, that someone may perceive it as you? Mainly on the Facebooks and the other ones where people are now starting to search to look for things about you.
This is almost an example. There's a guy got arrested in Austin, Texas. His name was Jason Wayne Sutton. He got arrested because he followed up on an ad on Craigslist, posted as an undercover cop or something, and raped a woman. And I got Google alerts like crazy for Wayne Sutton. I had that comprehensive search set up, and I was like, what in the world? And I tweeted that, say, hey, people with the name Wayne Sutton, you guys need to act right, because it's not me. I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina. And a couple people actually did reply back to me and say, I'm glad you cleared it up because we thought it was you. And me and this guy are not even the same color, but it doesn't matter. The name was Wayne Sutton. That's all they saw. They saw the Wayne Sutton. They didn't look at the mugshot. So you have to manage your name. You have to. I mean, we all know there's tools out of beyond Google Alerts. So there's filter bots. There's just tons of tools out there. And so I don't think the average person who has an identity online, they probably set up Google Alerts, if anything. But then I don't know how much are they really listening to what people are saying about their name, or what say, or even names that's about them, or either people with a similar name, and how they're dealing with that. But I think it's something that, as this social web and this online identities continue to grow, I think it's going to be more and more people getting involved with it. There's a music artist. He's on iTunes. He's been out a long time. Name is Wayne Sutton. I know he hates me. But... but hey, it's gonna be a battle come midnight. But hey, on Friday. But that's, he has his business and I have mine.
I mean, I appreciate that I picked I Do Notes because I have a very common name. I actually got an email just a while ago from, I write a monthly newsletter. It's Lotus related. It's a monthly that goes out but a guy wrote me an email saying, I can't believe you're promoting this product, or you're doing this now, and now you're talking about all this good stuff, Lotus, da-da-da, and your previous job, and how come you could never give us insider information? Or I think they had it backwards. Well, come to find out, there was a Chris Miller that was a product manager for this product that dealt with the Lotus World on the side as part of their, you know, big product picture. He thought I had moved jobs. And it sent this nasty, glaring letter saying, how could you now, you know, talk about how good it is when you know it's got so many problems, and maybe you can tell us how to fix all these issues we had for years now that you're in charge of this product. And he went on and on and on. I wrote him back, go, if you look for me on the web, you'll see I'm still at the same place I've been for 11 years. Oh, and I did a search and found out, oh, there's a product manager with the same name I have. So, yeah, I see your point about having someone similar like that. It wasn't as, you know, terrible as yours with crimes, but it was bad. It's bad enough with the products, and I didn't have any way to counter that, though. There's no way for me to go out and without putting that person on blast, without saying, I am not this person. You know what I mean? Don't confuse me or think I'm this person. But that kind of puts them out there when all they're doing is doing their normal product management. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Well, I mean, that's it. We summed it up. So to make it easy, to me, social identity management then is the ability not only to keep track and monitor. If it's a Google alert, if it's one of the social tools, who cares? But the ability to monitor exactly what's going on with your name brand that you pick, as well as your common name, mainly if you have a unique name. You know, Wayne, you're kind of unique, but as you're saying, there's a musician. Heck, look at this. The old football Rams quarterback used to be Chris Miller here in St. Louis, and he kept getting knocked in the head. Everyone thought he left and went into IT. Everyone thought I was the quarterback for the first year after he left the Rams here in St. Louis. But the ability to watch it, use a tool, and then somehow promote yourself in a positive manner, that to me is social identity management. I don't think enough people do that. They leave it too open on the outside. Okay.
I think a lot of people coming to the web, you know, now who haven't been, you know, web geeks like us are still learning, you know, the differences between what you should say on Facebook, what you should say online versus, you know, what needs to be private. I think there's still a lot of, you know, user education that needs to happen as far as, you know, what's appropriate and what's not. I mean, because you see stories, you know, every week there's some story about somebody doing something, saying something online and getting in trouble for it. I think we're just going to keep seeing that for a while.
There's two things with that. And Sarah, you hit a nail on the coffin. Because it's like, okay.
On the coffin?
No, the coffin. That's a whole country saying. Yeah. But other week on Twitter, it was the, what was it? Pound, three words after sex. And then it was like pound, it was a hashtag, was it? I mean, it was something crazy on Twitter today, but there's thousands of people who just out there tweeting this crazy stuff. And I'm looking like, do you guys know this is public? Do you care? Do you know it's searchable? I mean, what is going on? And I think, and something we've been kind of focusing on recently here in the Triangle, at our social media club meetings, is about social networking etiquette.
Right.
There's needs, a lot of people really educated about, you know, what you're saying online, and it's, I just really think they either don't care or just don't understand the value or what could be the ramifications of what they're saying on not just Twitter but on social networks as a whole.
Any final stuff there, Lewis?
I think Wayne has it on target. I mean, there are people who, this is one of the things that happens if Twitter goes mainstream, right? You're going to see mainstream people acting like mainstream people. You know, back when Wayne and Scoble were the only people using Twitter, you know, they weren't sending those types of notes back and forth. But people are used to doing text messaging and sending things to friends that, let's say, are less than savory. And now they're out in the public to be seen. And I guess people are more comfortable with the type of activities they put online now.
True. And they're getting more, they're learning, right? Mainly when something happens to them identity-wise or some information happens, they're definitely learning. So we'll post some links out there about some, I guess, software that does it, as well as some tools. We'll get some links out there for people to use for identity management. If you guys have some, make sure we toss them into the bookmark group. But last part, so we'll be out of here on time and actually get Sarah off and rested. Announcements. Do you guys have any announcements?
I just read that WordPress 2.8 is out. It's not mine, but WordPress 2.8 has just been released.
Just got released. Don't tell me that, because I was just doing a 2.7 install. So, okay. I want to thank. I'll publicly do it. Promised I would. Neil at Twitter Images, twitter-images.com. He went in and designed me a free Twitter background, which I'll have up tomorrow. He just sent me the final tonight. It came in email while we were talking. So I will have a new background for my Twitter profile page. He did a fabulous job. They let you create free ones on their site, or you can pay for premium ones. But to promote themselves, he went ahead and did a premium one. So it looks really nice. So give him a shout out. Twitter-images.com. So, and I think my response to it was, holy crap, that rocks. That's how much I liked it. So. It's gorgeous. You know, he said anything I wanted ideas, he did it. So it's gorgeous. What else you got? Lewis, anything from you? You've got tons going on.
When we have updates, they go on the blog.
Updates on the blog.
I just found something else cool, so that's going up.
Oh, right now? Okay.
I can't tell you.
Oh, I understand. I understand.
Dude, I know you're going to write it in 20 minutes and scoop me, so...
I do not do such things. I do not scoop you at all. I actually point people to
you. I meant Sarah. Sarah's going to stay up till midnight. She's got all sorts of places to publish.
Oh, put Sarah out
there. Oh, please. I can't wait to sleep.
It'll be the
number one. We have a social geeks embargo. We have a social geeks embargo.
Right. It'll be the number one hit on Bing tomorrow. I can see how that's going.
Yes.
Bing. Bing. Yeah, it'll be number one on Bing. Sarah, you don't have anything to say about all the Microsoft news? Nothing? Okay.
No, I mean, I don't speak for the company, you know. I'm just a blogger over there.
Right, but I'm saying, so, all the blogging, you don't have any blogging commentary? No? Okay, that's fine. We won't put you on the spot.
I mean, I think Bing's pretty cool. I mean, I don't know that it's going to be like, you know, a Google killer. I think that would be taking it a bit far. But, I mean, it has some neat features to it that I like. It's a good alternative search engine, and that's probably the best they could hope for at this point is to, you know, at least be considered, you know, because nobody's even thought about using another search engine for years. No. And they even had like a nice little bump there. But sustaining that interest, that's something only time will tell, you know?
Cool. All right, everybody. We'll look for a post on Lewis Gray. Apparently he now has another thing that he won't let us scoop. Wayne, your stuff, you just don't stop. So I've given up trying to even promote or keep up with your stuff. You just do.
I'm like Lewis. It's all on socialwayne.com.
Socialwayne.com.
Lewis is my hero.
That'll be his post tomorrow. Sarah in Tampa, go ahead. Where else are you? Channel 10. Where else should we look for you?
Read Right Web.
Of course. Well, I just had Read Right.
Twitter. Sarah in Tampa.
Nice, tell me to go
and
there.
FriendFeed. I have to say something about FriendFeed.
Okay.
All right. When I got pregnant, certain things like bother me, like smells. Certain smells bother me.
FriendFeed smells.
I'm getting there. Okay. Certain foods bother me. Right. Certain commercials on TV about certain foods bother me.
Sure.
And for some reason, the color scheme of the new FriendFeed, like, literally makes me sick to my stomach. And I've been so sensitive to, like, things that make me sick that I cannot look at the new friend feed unless I open it in Firefox and have the Grease Monkey script that changes, you know, that themes it to where it's, you know, very clean and not green and blue and gray. I can't even stand how it looks right now. It's so ugly.
Sarah,
it's so ugly.
What about that? That utility you guys blogged about on Read Right Web that makes FriendFeed look hot. You know, wow, what was that?
Yeah, there's a Grease Monkey script that makes it look beautiful.
No, this is it's a whole platform that you download, install on your web server, imports all the FriendFeed, and give it a whole new look and feel. It actually can use WordPress themes to import your FriendFeed data.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, and the name escapes me right now. I'm too sleepy, but but I know what you're talking about. It's like a live stream type thing, but yeah, I don't have the time to do that. I just need to use FriendFeed. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so freaking ugly. And I've been using Chrome as my default web browser for some time now, and you know, I can't really use Grease Monkey and that, so I actually have to keep Firefox open just to look at FriendFeed. And I know that they said themes are coming, but they couldn't come soon enough. I mean, really. It just makes me sick to my stomach to look at it.
Wow. I would like to let all our listeners know that the Social Geeks is full of additives, but we are dye, fragrance, and perfume free.
Thank you, sir. It's the only way I can participate.
The only way. Our down comrades that aren't here today, Corvita is shegeeks.net. Jeff is a geek.net, who posts more friend feed and Twitter. He is amazing at the amount of content he pumps through there during the day. I thought Wayne was amazing. That Jeff has just turned on the volume lately. So that's it. We'll wrap it up. We'll finish up. I think we're at, we stayed under the hour, guys. Any other goodbyes? Anything else you want to shout out? Any other sites? Otherwise?
No.
I'll take it as the Social Geeks episode at 17. We are done.
Yes.
Fragrance free.
I know that sounds crazy, right? But it seriously makes me sick. Outtakes.
That wasn't outtakes.
It seriously makes me sick.